So Paul said this to the church of Ephesus. He said that since I've heard of your faith and see your love, that I always make mention to you in my prayer that God would open up the eyes of your understanding to the hope and the calling that's within you, and that you would know the length, the breadth, the height, the width of his love, and that you can walk in that love and you can operate out of that love. Not only the love that he has for you, but the love that he has bestowed on the inside of you. And that's what I want to talk to you about on today. It's Christmas time, and we all know that Jesus was the greatest gift that was ever given to this world. He was that seed into the world was the greatest seed that anybody could have planted. And certainly it was the gift of love. For God so loved the world, not the cosmos, but humanity. God loves people. God loves people, all people, everybody, even the ones that you don't like. He loves everybody. He loves no matter what they did, no matter what they may do, he still loves. And not to say that he won't chasten or that he won't correct or rebuke or he might, you know, whatever he does, but he still loves everyone. There's no one that's excluded out of the love of Christ. Now, you need to remember that because the Bible says in Philippians, the second chapter, that this is the mind that Christ Jesus had and that we are to have that same mind. And we're to operate out of that same love. It's called agape love. It's called, you know, the kind of love that you can only get from God, that you can only demonstrate. My love runs out. Your love runs out. My grace, too much gravy over my plate, it'll run out. You might get a piece of my mind. But if I'm operating in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and so on, then as Peter says, I am a true partaker of his divine nature. I can have the nature of Christ, so I can have the love of Christ. So it is his love that flows through me. Why don't you say that it is his love that flows through me? And I want to say to you that according to the word of the Lord, in 1 Corinthians, what we're going to be going to, the Bible says in the 12th chapter, the very last verse says, and I give unto you a more excellent way. And he talks about all of the gifts of the church, all of the offices, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, the gift of revelation, the apostle, the teacher, the pastor, all the gifts of the office, the gift of administration, the gift of helps, the gift of faith, all of the gifts, great gifts. But then he says, but now after hearing and knowing about all those gifts, I'm going to give you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. And I believe that this is the key to our Christian living and our Christian victory. Is that after all of the faith that we have, after all of the vision that we have, after all of the programs, after all of the wonderful praise and worship that we do, after all the coming together and meeting together on a Sunday morning or a Friday night, all of that will pass away. And he said, the greatest of everything, your prophesying, my preaching, your teaching, your singing, your holding on to faith. The Bible says it will all fail. It will all dissipate. It will all go away. But the thing that is eternal is love. When we receive eternal life, we receive eternal love. And let me just go to the scripture in Matthew. That talks about the birth of Jesus and how it all came about. Are you excited about 2011? Yeah. I really, really need you to be excited about 2011 because I really believe in my heart that what's coming is better than what was. I believe that our future is going to be bigger, brighter, and better. It's the three B's. You can remember that, right? Bigger, brighter, and better. I really believe that. I'm not just saying that. But according to the scripture, that the Lord says he would take us from one glory to another glory to another glory to another glory. So it's always advancement in the kingdom of God. It's never retreat. It's never going backwards. You don't go back. God doesn't go back. And certainly he doesn't live in our past. So whatever your past has been, whether it's been good, or super bad, it doesn't matter. What's coming is better than what it was. Don't gloat over your successes, because it's going to be greater than what you've had. You've had a good year, I trust, in your business. But it's going to be greater, Pastor Alice. I mean, greater. It's going to be bigger, better, and brighter. Your future is going to be brighter because of what God has in store for you. So if you can hook into that and lock into that, you can forget about the things that have hindered you from progressing. Maybe mistakes, maybe disappointments, maybe people saying something, maybe you holding your own self back. Let it go. Because it's not only a season for change because of the chronological order of 2010 ending and 2011 opening, but in the season of God, on His timetable, things must get better. And they must get better for you. And they must get better for the church of Jesus Christ. And so we're not going down. We're going up. You know, we're not going down. There's a scripture in Samuel that talks about, and there was at war, the house of Saul and the house of David, the third chapter. The house of Saul and the house of David was at war for a long time. But then the Bible says the house of Saul grew weaker and 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 weaker. And the house of Saul kept diminishing. But the house of David kept growing and growing and growing, which was typology or symbolic of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. And so, you know, who's going to win? The enemy or God? He's going to win. So God can't go down. God can't go down. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the economy looks like. God's word can't go down. God's kingdom can't go down. It can only go up and up and up and up and increase. So that's good news. Hallelujah. You're in the kingdom of God. That's good news. Matthew, the first chapter. And it says this. The 18th verse. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man or a great man and not wanting to make her a public example, he wanted to put her away secretly. But while he thought about it, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. How you like that? Get ready to do something, and the angels show up. I mean, just tear up your whole plan. It's called divine intervention by a divine intruder. And sometimes God needs to just bust up our stuff, doesn't he? He needs to just keep us on the right track or put us on the right track so that we can get the rewards of what he has for our life. So an angel just interrupted his whole thing, his whole plan, appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's all right, Joseph. And she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name what? Who? Jesus. For he comes to save his people from their sins. Now, the 22nd verse says this. So this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He obeyed the angel. He did exactly what he said. And he took her to be his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Obedience is so important, even when you don't understand. Even when it's hard to understand. Sometimes you just got to go with it. Sometimes you're like, I can't figure this out. But if the angel of the Lord, or the Lord spoke to you, even when you can't even believe. I remember reading, and you know the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones, when the prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, The Lord asked him a question, said, can these dry bones live? I mean, it was a devastating situation. Dry bones, dead bones, fragmented. And he says, can this thing live? So the prophet said, Lord, you know, I don't have faith for this. That's what the text inferred. I don't have faith for this. Lord, you know, I cannot give you an answer. Yes, they're going to live. Yes, I got the faith. He said, Lord, you know. He asked him again. He says, Lord, only you know. And so he told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, you may not see it. You may not understand it. Just obey me, okay? Prophesy. Just prophesy. Just open your mouth and just do as I command you to do. That was what he said. He says, do as I command you to do. I don't need your lack of faith. I don't need what you think about it. Just do what I command you to do. And there are times when we can't see it, we don't know it, because the fullness of time have not come to interpret it or to know it. We just don't know. We don't know. There are some things that we don't know. But if God's spoken, if he says it, then we would have to do like Joseph did and like Ezekiel did. We would have to do as he commands. So here's a point. There are times when you're going to have to walk out by faith, not knowing, not understanding, but sheer obedience. Sheer obedience. Sheer obedience. I'm not sure what Pastor Alex is doing, but you know what? I'm just going to follow. I can't see it, but I'm just going to follow. And there are times when that will happen to you in your life because we only see in part and we don't see the full picture. Amen? So here's another scripture that I want us to look at, the 26th chapter of Matthew, and the 24th verse says this. How then could the scripture be fulfilled? How can the scriptures be fulfilled? How can the word of the Lord be fulfilled? Okay? And then it said that it must happen this way. Things must happen this way in order for the scripture to be fulfilled. Things must happen a certain way in order for the scripture to be fulfilled. Look at the 56th verse. And it says, for all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. A lot of things have to happen in your life, in my life, in order for God's word to be fulfilled. In the fullness of time, Matthew says, that Jesus came to the earth. He could not come before this time. After the earth was shut up for 400 years, Jesus had not spoken until in the earth. No word from the Lord, no prophecy. They were waiting for something to happen. Somebody might say, well, you know, the prophets prophesied that he would come. Why didn't he come during Malachi's time? Why didn't he come through Isaac's time? But there is a red bloodline running from Genesis to Malachi. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd, Samuel, 1st and 2nd, Ezra, Nehemiah, da, da, da. In every book of the Bible is a prophecy that Jesus is coming. Check it out. Do your homework. Every single book in the Old Testament, there is a prophecy that Jesus is coming. Every single book. So the Bible kept saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And Pastor Alice, he could not come until all things came together. And that's what you call the fullness of time. And this is what I want to talk to you about. That Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, around the 15th verse says, all things are made beautiful in his time. In his time. I'm going somewhere with this. Follow me. All things are made beautiful in his time. Although it was prophesied, this is going to happen. It was prophesied, new life is going to be a great church. Prophesied, people are going to be coming from everywhere. The north, the east, the south, the west. Young church, prosperous church, entrepreneur church. Prophesied, 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 prophesied. sin. But it could not happen until the fullness of time came. And how do you know when the fullness of time comes? You don't know. Only God knows. You know why? Because he's always working behind the scenes for your life. And sometimes I believe he sits back and says, if they only knew what I was doing for them, they wouldn't be complaining. They wouldn't be murmuring. They wouldn't be crying. If they could only see me working behind the curtain, setting up the props. I'm working for them. And here they are. They can't trust me enough to just say, maybe he's doing something. Things are happening right now for you. In your families, for your families, your jobs, your businesses. God's working for you right now. And you can't even see it. And it's not going to come to pass until the fullness of time comes. And his timing may not be our timing. That's the bad part about it sometimes. Because we want our time to be his time. God, don't you see? Yeah, I see. God, did you forget? Excuse me. No. I orchestrated. I got the time clock. The alarm is going to ring when it's supposed to ring. Before Jesus came to the earth, before Jesus could come on the earth, guess what had to be orchestrated? Number one, Mary and Joseph did not live in Bethlehem, but the prophecy said there was a virgin that was going to bring forth the child in Bethlehem. So Jesus had to change the events of the world to get Caesar Augustus to send out a tax decree to have everybody come to Bethlehem just to get Mary and Joseph there. Master planner, the master orchestrator, the providential God, the God that can put everything and synchronize everything for his glory, the God that can make everything happen and you don't even know he's working. He's working. He changed the political scene. Jesus could not come. The Roman Empire had to take over for a while. They had to start the wars, and then guess what they had to do? They had to go in and open up new regions. They had to build roads, and they had to open up new places where nobody ever traveled. Guess why? Because when Jesus came, the gospel had to go to different places. He had to be preached, so he couldn't have come. What if he would have come, and there's nowhere to send the gospel? Just sitting there. We can't. No. It couldn't have happened. John the Baptist had to get on the scene first. John the Baptist had to do his thing first. And then after John the Baptist did his thing, he said, oh, there's a man that's coming. And he made the way. And he proclaimed the way, and he came. There are things that are happening for you right now. I want to encourage you that just like God orchestrated everything for us through Jesus, and it was in the fullness of time. No matter if it's good, bad, ugly, no matter what has happened, it's okay. It's okay. We were all slaves at one time. Galatians 4 says that. So we were all slaves at one time. We were children. We were like children under a law. We had people over us. It was okay until Jesus came, until the fullness of time came, and God sent his son. We were all slaves. We were all sinners until Jesus came. So, I'm not going to mess up your theology, but it was okay for you to be a sinner as long as you were. It was okay for you to have done what you were doing as long as you were doing it. You had grace over you. There was what God called a fullness of time, just like the Jews and the Gentiles had a time period. There was a time when that dispensation was over and no more Jews could come to the Lord. There was a time when the Gentile dispensation was over and there was no Gentile that could come to the Lord. Sometimes we want to beat ourselves up over the head. Sometimes we want to say, well, if I would have done it sooner. Well, if this could have happened. Well, if this. No. In the fullness of time. Make no mistake about it. As much as sometimes we want to change things. And we try and we try and we work it and we try to work it and we try to work it and we try to work it, but it doesn't change. You know why? Because it's not God's fullness of time. He's still got to get this over here. He's got to get that in place. He's got to get that in place. He's got to get that in place before he can bring it all together. Is it making sense? So he says, wait on me. Just trust me and wait on me. And listen to my instructions and listen to my directives. And when I say move, move. When I say turn left, turn left. When I say go right, go right. Because in the fullness of time, it's when everything will happen. In the fullness of time. God sent love to the world. God sent himself. The Bible says, and God dwelt among us. He made flesh body. And he put himself in the flesh body, and love came down, and love came down. And then he says that the love that he gave to the earth, he gives it to us, that we can in turn release the same love. My whole point in this message today for you, New Life, is to give you these words. You ready for them? Your fullness of time has come. Your fullness of time has come. Your fullness of time has come. The Apostle Paul says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, Galatians 6 and 9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due seasons you shall reap if you don't faint, if you don't give up. You didn't give up. You didn't faint. This is your due season, and you're reaping, and you're in the season of reaping. The best key that you can use in this season of reaping is love. All hands in, everybody in the field, it's harvest time, everybody loving everybody. Everybody working together. Everybody working in unity. Nobody's puffed up. You know that 13th chapter of Corinthians. Do you know that? 1 Corinthians. The 13th chapter. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now the 13th verse says, though I speak the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I make this big sacrifice of just giving my body to say, look at the martyr I am. But if I have not love, me burning my body profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and it is kind. This is Jesus. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave unseemly or rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Thinks no evil. It's not easily provoked. It endures all things. It keeps no record of wrong. Keeps no record of wrong. But you know what they did to me? When? 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It keeps no record of wrong. It keeps no record of wrong. Well, I can't work with her, Pastor Alice, because it keeps no record of wrong. Well, maybe we shouldn't, maybe we should not, intermingle with that group, because it keeps no record of wrong. It endures all things. Love covers a multitude of faults. Your love covers my faults, and my love covers your faults. Don't you think you don't have no faults? Don't think you don't have any faults. Yeah. My love covers your faults, and your love covers my faults. And so Jesus, when he came, when God gave his gift, son Jesus, he gave love. For God so loved, he gave love. Jesus gave his life, he gave love. And that is what is our Christian duty or is our, or is what we do today as we exemplify him, is that we give love and that we understand how God wants to work through us. By it being your fullness of time, God is saying, you got the green light. Run. Don't stop. Run. Don't slack up. Don't retreat. Don't let anybody snag you up. Don't get caught in any little ruts, or don't get caught in this little thing over here, any clicks. Don't get caught in any of that. No distractions. No deterrence. Run. Green light. You got a green light. Run, run, run. Because the fullness of time has come. And it's harvest time. And you're getting ready to see the release of what God had planned for you and has planned for you. There is a reward to the diligent seeker. There's a reward to the faithful. Some of you have been here since the inception of New Life. How do I know? Because I was here. How do I know? When Pastor Alex said, no, Pastor Judy, he was fighting me. You know, he got a little stubbornness in him. I can't be a pastor. I said, yes, you are. I can't do it. They're not going to listen to me. I said, yes, they are. And he just kept on and said, no. But in the fullness of time, it couldn't have happened anyplace else. It had to happen at that particular time. You being here today, God bringing you together, God bringing all of us together, the end of 2010, as we go into 2011, you need to know that God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. You need to know that you are a part of not only just a great church, but this is a movement. This is love being released in the earth. This is God showing the world what he looks like, how he acts, how he operates. It's a part of a love movement. And when you come in on Sunday morning and with your joy and anticipation and laughing and excitement, it's not unto yourselves, but it's the joy of the Lord that's released to others. And then you begin to grow and grow and grow because love is contagious, isn't it? It's contagious. And then when it's love is the foundation of it, or love is the basis of it, then it won't fail, because the Bible says love never fails. Come on. Love never fails. Faith can fail. It really can. Prophecy can fail. It can. Hope can fail. But love never, 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 ever fails. Try it. Watch and see the fruit that comes from when you love somebody and they're doing something else to you. It's not your love, it's his love, and it works. It never fails. Never fails. Without love, even during Christmas time, baking cookies in the kitchen, making good food, without having love for that family, you're just a good cookie baker. You're just a good cookie decorator. You're just a nice person without love. See, whatever you do without love, it's just empty. You're just another church. Without love, you're just another group of people that come to meet in a building that takes up space and maybe gives a little money here and there. But without love, we're missing the whole thing. The crux of the matter, the foundation of everything, is that God so loved the world. And that's what he gives us to give back to the world. So, in the fullness of time that you've come, how many know that you are the planting of the Lord right here? That God has planted you here. Maybe you took a little time before you really got it together, but deep in your heart of hearts, you know God has planted you here. And, you know, it's something about when God plants you at a place. You can't just, I mean, you can, but, you know, you just can't pluck yourself out when you get ready. I mean, you can, but it's not what he wants. It's not a good idea. It really isn't. But if you understand that you are the planting of the Lord, then you understand that all of our gifts are different. You understand that we all have different functions, and that He has me planted here for a reason. He has you planted here for a reason. And your reason is not the same reason He has Earl planted here. And the Earl's reason is not the same reason that He has the Dean or Andre planted here. And so, but we're all planted here. We're all the, come on, just say, I am the planting of the Lord. And that together with love, with each joint supplying, as Ephesians says. He says, each joint supplies. I supply you and you supply me, and we're fitly joined together. And we're joined together by love. And we're joined together with we bring all of our giftings to the table. We bring all of our expertise to the table. We bring everything to bring about what God is making. Because you know God's making something right here. He's making something. We're just not doing stuff. We're making something. We're pieces to a masterpiece puzzle that He has made. And truth of the matter is, maybe you don't need all of this kind of singing. Maybe it's not your cup of tea, but He planted you here. Maybe you like it and you don't a little bit, but He planted you here for a reason. But you have something else to give. And maybe it's not what you're used to. It's not how you were brought up. But He brought you here. And then we begin to say, like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And that's when the obedience come in. We might not kind of like everything. Everybody in my church don't like everything I do. I tell them all the time. I know it. You can't fool me. I just tell them. I know it. You don't like everything I do. And sometimes they'll tell me. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's a lot of times, because the fullness of time has not come, you can't see everything. And you don't know everything. But as we all stay together, knitted together in the bonds of love, God will bring it all together, and we'll all say at the end of the day, wow. Oh, my God. I love those expressions. Oh, my God. Wow. Did you believe? I never, honey. I can see Pastor Alex sometimes saying, baby, honey, can you believe that God has just done this for us? I just can't believe it. Because like, I know how he gets excited when we have meetings. He just goes like that. I just can't believe it. And this is what God will do when we stay together in the bonds of peace and stay together knitted in love and understanding that God has assigned you here, planted you here, and that the fullness of time has come for us to go together and run together and let God increase the kingdom. And when He increases the kingdom, I want to tell you something. You cannot take care of God's business if He don't take care of yours. You believe me when I tell you that. You cannot give your all to God's business. You cannot give Him. The Bible says, how can you leave mother and father and you leave everything and come to Him and He doesn't do something better for you? Hundredfold. So I'm telling you, it's getting ready to get bigger and better and brighter. It's on the horizon. It's on the horizon. I mean, you know, even I'm excited about New Year's night. You know, just the expectancy of knowing that something greater is coming and you're getting ready for it. And I know that's kind of the natural thing, but there's something in the spirit realm that's working for you right now. There's something invisible that you cannot see. And you're doing the visible stuff, but He does the invisible stuff. You do the natural stuff, He does the supernatural stuff. You do the ordinary stuff, He does the extraordinary stuff. Come on. We do the possible stuff. He does the impossible. We can't see. I can, in the spirit realm, I can see God doing something for you and your wife supernaturally that you've been waiting for, that you've been trusting God for, and it like has not yet happened. But I can see in the spirit like He's getting ready to hit that. Is it a piñata? That's that like that donkey thing, and everything opens up. I can see that for you. that I can, with my spiritual eyes, I can see that, that something great is getting ready to burst open for you. And like, you've been trying to hit it something. But God said, I got the hit. And when he pops it open, that things are going to come forth and you're going to just like, wow, honey, wow. Just receive that in the name of the Lord and you'll see what God's going to do for you in Jesus' name. Are you excited about 2011? It's the fullness of time. Go for it. Habakkuk said, the vision is already written. Run. It's written. Run. Run with it. And let's see the results of what God has for us. God is up to something in your life, individually, corporately, and even in this city. This light, a new life, shines bright. Shines bright, even brighter than you know. And he promised that it would. So be encouraged. Know that, again, what's coming is bigger, better, and brighter. Come on, say bigger, better, and brighter. Say it again. Because he has your best interests. And some of you are still yet kind of, you're still kind of yet, you know, weighing in the balance. Today, lock it in. I'm telling you. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. It's the real move of God. It's what God is doing. And let God show you as you go on to follow him, he'll release unto you the latter rain and the former rain.